information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
And hey there, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Friday, May 5th. Nice to have you. We're joining you from Manitowoc County this morning. We did get a winner of Brewers tickets just as we were going to commercial break in our last hour. So congrats to Scott from Wanakee for knowing that it was the Horicon Marsh that is one of the largest in the U.S. here in Wisconsin. Why did we pick that question? Because one of the feature stories at UpNorthNewsWI.com is all about things that could be on your bucket list for Southeast Wisconsin. And you can find that article on our homepage at UpNorthNewsWI.com. A lot of great attractions on there. This one takes putting a few more miles on the car than just say, you know, things around the Milwaukee area, but definitely worth your time. It's just a beautiful place to be. So congratulations again to Scott for winning those Brewer tickets, and I'm sure we will have more to give away next week. Coming up this hour, we're going to have the dish on the Kosh. While we were in Oshkosh yesterday for our show, we learned that there's a podcast dedicated to folks in the city, and so we talked to the host, Timber Smith, and see if we can get him to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk a bit about the Kosh podcast. Also, we'll review how the media has covered or not covered some of this week's big stories. Normally, we would do that with Mark Jacob. He is off this week. We'll see him again next week. And then we will talk to Dan Schumacher, our friend and athletic director at UW Eau Claire, about some of the big stories in sports. And there's a very big one involving the Milwaukee Bucks, who are going to be needing a new head coach. Along the way, if you'd like to chime in, our number is 844-967-2789, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. I was saying right before the break that this show can be a podcast as well. If you prefer to have it delivered to you, just go to the radio station website, civicmedia.us, and when you click on shows, you can click on any of our locally created shows here in Wisconsin and turn it into a podcast that instead would come to you on demand as you would like. In a little bit, we're going to have an updated weather forecast from Weatherology. We'll take a look at how things are looking heading into the weekend. It was a pleasant day out here in eastern Wisconsin yesterday. The skies are getting a little bit darker. Looks like we're going to be getting some rain chances around the state. And so we will find out more about that in just a couple of minutes. But speaking of the weather and the climate, something that really caught my attention was an op-ed in the Cap Times out of Madison. And it's about the changing climate, and it's about somebody who should know a thing or two about it taking a stand. And it's somebody well-known in the Madison area. The headline says, "As a meteorologist, I'm issuing an alert over climate change." And it comes from meteorologist Bob Lindmeyer, who is a fixture, you know, in the Madison area in South Central Wisconsin. He's senior chief meteorologist at WKOW-TV. And look, there's a lot of meteorologists, they're scientists, you know, who obviously would have a thing or two to say about our changing climate if you were to ask them. But by and large, because the right wing has created such a blowback rooted in pretty much nothing, but a blowback nonetheless, you find that a lot of meteorologists don't necessarily want to take a big public stance on it. Bob Lindmeyer decided that's enough of that. He writes, "As a broadcast meteorologist, it is my job to sound the alarm when weather dangers are on the horizon. In my more than 40-year career, there have been many nights when my team and I have worked well into the early morning hours to make sure our viewers in southern Wisconsin were armed with facts about an approaching storm. Well, a large storm has been brewing for quite some time now, and I would be remiss in not alerting you to the danger as well about climate change. It is making extreme weather worse and will further disrupt our lives, livelihoods, and economy unless and until it is curbed. Just as I let you know when to ready your snowblower or take your umbrella with you, it's my responsibility to let you know that a significant tool will soon be available to protect us from this larger storm." And he goes on to talk about power plants being the biggest source of emissions that contribute to trapping gases in our atmosphere that increase the temperature of the atmosphere and then change our climate. And he says about the power plants, they contribute about a quarter of the U.S. total, second only to the transportation sector. Thankfully, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will soon release new standards with the potential to significantly reduce the amount of climate pollution released by power plants. These standards will clean up our air and protect our health and economy. And he goes on to talk a bit about what's in the legislation and his feelings on the value that it would have toward helping mitigate the impact of a changing climate. And so he concludes that, "I hope you share my concerns and will encourage the EPA to take the strongest possible action during the upcoming public comment period. I encourage you to speak with your family, neighbors, folks in your community about how climate change is affecting us in Wisconsin and get them involved in supporting the Cut Climate Pollution Plan. I've sounded the alarm and you're armed with the facts. Let's work together to build a brighter forecast for southern Wisconsin." Again, Bob Lindmeyer writing in the Cap Times. And I can only suspect that the answer to that, the response, is I expect to see at least one, if not several, Republican legislators introduce a bill shortly called the Stick It to Bob Lindmeyer Act that is going to require all power plants to burn nothing but coal. Just because, not based in any kind of scientific reason, but because that's what our policy arguments have been reduced to. So thank you, Bob, for writing that article. We'll have weather, sports, and much more coming up right after this break on Up North News Radio. Quarter past seven, and time to check some sports before we get an update on the forecast. And let's see, I've got to tell you about the Milwaukee Bucks and the new coach that they're going to need after Mike Budenholzer was let go just over a week after that first-round playoff loss to the Miami Heat. Bud posted a regular season record of 271 and 120, 271 wins, 120 losses. His playoff record was 39 and 26, including the Bucks' first NBA title in half a century just 2 years ago. The Brewers dropped all three in Colorado. They blew a 4-0 lead coming into the seventh inning, and consequently, 9-6 was the final when Colorado came back to tie and then some. So now the Brewers head to San Francisco for three games, and then they come home for three games against the LA Dodgers, where we have given away a couple of tickets for Tuesday's game. And I'm hearing rumors we might actually have a couple of more to give away. But you know, while I check that out, we're going to get the forecast first here from Weatherology, and meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky is here. Jennifer, tell us all about it. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does look like a stationary front is cutting through the state today. South below the stationary front, it looks to be a dry day with temperatures above average, mainly in the 70s, a little cooler towards the lakefront. Then chances for rain showers coming in the overnight hours. From Richland Center to the north, chances for rain showers coming in during the daytime with temperatures pretty average overall, right around about the mid-60s, actually in the mid-70s around Richland Center. For the weekend, it does look like a wet forecast across the board, lingering in the 60s for most on Saturday, a few spots reaching 70 degrees. Madison over to Richland Center, chance for some showers and storms on and off throughout the day tomorrow. On Sunday, things start to get a little bit more interesting as parts of the state, a marginal risk for the southwestern and south central parts of the state, again, from that Madison to Richland Center area to the southwest. A few chances for showers and thunderstorms for everyone on Sunday, and overall it does look like warmer weather as well. 70s nearly across the board, low 70s in west central Wisconsin, Amory and Baldwin, over to Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, getting into the upper 70s, down to Waukesha as well, and then a few 80s in that severe weather potential area, again, in the southwestern portions of the state. And the main threats at this point look to be large hail and damaging winds. So, of course, something that we'll keep you an eye on all weekend and keep you up to date on as that severe weather potential comes in for the weekend.
We will definitely follow that potential for severe weather, but I will say that if it comes along with the temps getting back to 70s and maybe 80s, that's a very pleasant sign that actual spring has returned, and we welcome it so much. Jennifer, thank you for the forecast. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. Jennifer Vachitsky from Weatherology. All right. We are normally talking at 7:30 to Mark Jacob, a former editor of the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times. He's off this week. We'll talk to him again next Friday. But he did write a column for Courier Newsroom, the parent company of Up North News, and you can find it at couriernewsroom.com. I'm going to tell you about that in a bit. But first, I know that if he were here this week, there'd be a couple of stories that he would want to talk about. When it comes to covering the media and how they cover themselves, they sometimes have a funny way of not covering stories that they're involved with, and then it's up to somebody else to cover it. And the latest example of that is this. Imagine a former president of the United States having an absolute meltdown around reporters to the point where he's actually, you know, throwing their phones and storming out. Why wouldn't that get reported on right away? Well, one reason might be that if all the reporters in that particular area were told that this is some kind of an off-the-record briefing, you know, then they're all thinking they can't report on that. What they can't report on, of course, is, you know, what this person says. They can't directly attribute it to the person that's there. But when that person is former President Donald Trump, and it's not about what he said, but what he did in having the meltdown, it sure seemed odd that when he blew up at Vaughn Hilliard, a correspondent for NBC News, the story about it didn't come from Vaughn Hilliard of NBC News. It came from Vanity Fair that first posted on it, and then others followed, about Trump lashing out at him after getting frustrated with the reporter's line of questioning. And this didn't happen like a day or two ago. This happened back on March 25th, as Trump was on his plane after doing a campaign rally in Waco, Texas. But just days before, he was indicted by a Manhattan grand jury investigating his hush money payments. And so he knew an arrest and arraignment was pending. He was, you know, stressed out. He said, according to the report, "Don't ask me any more questions," after Vaughn Hilliard suggested to Trump that he seemed frustrated about the investigation. The interaction, the report says, further escalated after Hilliard continued to ask questions about the investigation revolving around Trump's Truth Social posts, where the former president warned there would be, quote, potential death and destruction if he was indicted. That is definitely a fair question to ask of a former president when you put up a post like that. But his response is, "I don't want to talk to you," Trump told Hilliard. "Do you hear me? You're not a nice guy." Trump added that when Hilliard tried to ask another question, he turned to take a question from another reporter instead. And after Hilliard's third attempt to get an answer, Trump said to his aides, "All right, let's go. Get him out of here. Out of here. Out of here." Then that during that interaction, Trump also grabbed Hilliard's two phones and tossed them aside. I mean, when you say get him out of here, what are you going to do? Strap a parachute on him and push him out the plane? I mean, I don't doubt that he would think about that if he could. But again, the petulance of something like this is not something where you say, well, he's just having a bad day and we're not going to report on it. Because again, the double standard is stunning sometimes in the national media. Let's take that story, or let's take the story of Donald Trump being sued in a civil case for an attempted rape that we've heard a bit about, but not nearly in the detail if it were somebody with a D next to their name. In both of these stories, I want you to put the name Bill Clinton next to it. Do you think that story wouldn't have been reported about the airplane meltdown? Do you think that a trial involving an accusation of rape wouldn't be reported on in intimate detail? There would be nonstop coverage of this. And yet, it seems the national media has learned nothing since 2015 and continues to treat Trump with kid gloves at times, with way too much deference for what he has done and what he is accused of doing. And so for CNN to now give him, I think, an hour of prime time next Wednesday for a quote-unquote town hall, again, I think maybe Mark took the week off just because you didn't want to see the smoke coming out of his ears in talking about that. But he did write a column about it entitled 10 Questions Trump Should Face at the CNN Town Hall. And again, that's at couriernewsroom.com. And Mark wrote, "In what CNN apparently thinks is a public service, the news channel will broadcast a town hall May 10th with the presidential candidate, the one who plotted to overturn the results of the last election and incited a deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol. Donald Trump will take questions from, quote, New Hampshire Republicans and undeclared voters who plan to vote in the 2024 GOP presidential primary, CNN announced. Mark writes, we suspect the questioners could use some help in formulating what they ask the twice impeached, once indicted former president. And so here are 10 suggestions. And I'll get to what I can hear from this. Number one, these are questions that should absolutely be put to Donald Trump publicly on primetime TV. What did you mean last December when you called for the, quote, termination of the U.S. Constitution? Isn't that something a traitor would say? Mark adds. Number two, name one thing you don't like about Vladimir Putin, other than his failure to approve the Trump Tower in Moscow, of course. Number three, you said former Attorney General Jeff Sessions was a total disaster, that former Attorney General William Barr never had the energy or competence to do the job. Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper was weak and totally ineffective. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley was a blanking idiot. Former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was dumb as a rock. Former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly was, quote, way over his head. Former Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney was a born loser. Former Defense Secretary James Mattis was the most overrated general. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton was one of the dumbest people in Washington. And former Vice President Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done. Mr. Trump, who hired all those people? That is a very fair question. And I think it should be put to him exactly like that. Don't you think about that every time you go, wait, that was your Secretary of State. That was your Defense Secretary. And yet you were the one that let them in. Let's see. What communications did your White House have with the Saudis about journalist Jamal Khashoggi before the Saudis murdered and dismembered him? And why did you run for cover to the Saudis after the murder? Number five, last year you called yourself the most honest human being perhaps that God ever created. And Mark writes, are Jesus Christ, the prophet Muhammad, and the first Buddha also in the running? And if so, is this a close competition or not? Let me see over. Oh, here, on August 9th, 2016, you promised your wife Melania would hold a news conference, quote, over the next couple of weeks to explain her immigration history, including how she got her, quote, Einstein visa. How come that news conference never happened? Number eight, before you became president, you promised health insurance, quote, for everybody. But in your 4 years in the White House, you never announced such a plan. Is it ready yet? Or will it take another 2 weeks? Number nine, when you used a Sharpie to doctor an official government weather map, did you really think you would fool anyone? Or were you simply saying that was the path the hurricane should take? And then he asked, the final one is, what did you demand or get in exchange from CNN for appearing at this town hall? So the kinds of things that we would expect Mark Jacob to ask if you were with us this week. And we'll ask next, when we talk to him next week, of course, the CNN town hall will have already happened. So we will most certainly be looking forward to his take on the questions and answers on that one. All right, I've got a couple of minutes before the break, and sure enough, it turns out that I do have another pair of tickets to give away to next Tuesday's Brewers game against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so I hope that, well, first off, I hope Aaron knows this answer automatically, but I also hope he has seen it in the little chat window that we do back and forth with each other. You did see it, right?
Yes.
The answer?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is going to be Brewers trivia, going to be a little simpler. And again, two great seats on the line for Tuesday night's game against the Dodgers. So that phone number is 844-967-2789. Who leads the Brewers in home runs right now? And it's not even close. Who is leading the Brewers in home runs? You love this guy. You know this guy. If you can go to the game, haven't won tickets in the past 30 days, can have the tickets emailed to you, then call 844-967-2789. First person with the correct answer is going to get those tickets. We are looking forward to that. All right. While I was talking about things that Mark Jacob would be discussing with us, I've got just enough time to mention one in passing. And that's the Texas legislature is working on a bill that would let Republican Governor Greg Abbott overturn elections in Harris County. One county, the county that has Houston, a Democratic and diverse county. The bill would allow Abbott to toss out the results and call for a new election. And again, only applies to one county out of 254 in the state of Texas. Don't know that that's going to pass muster if that were to actually become law, but again, indicative of at least some political classes' motivations. We're going to talk to Timber Smith and learn more about the Kosh podcast coming up next. You're Up North.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
I am from Oshkosh, oh boy, oh boy. That place is perfect, the real McCoy. Remember, Oshkosh has what it takes. Up there, no fooling, you get the breaks.
I wish I was, this is real. 1949, Don Shaw and his orchestra with the song Oshkosh. All you got to do, Google's an amazing thing. Just put in, do any song lyrics contain Oshkosh? And this is the first hit, Don Shaw and his orchestra from 1949. Maybe it's already been featured on the Kosh podcast. I don't know. We're going to ask the host, Timber Smith, who joins us now. Timber, good morning.
Good morning.
Any exposure to Don Shaw's version of I Am From Oshkosh previously?
Just now.
Well, you are welcome. So, I couldn't find anything else about the song. Don Shaw, there's obituaries for him that he, was a well-known band leader at the time, but I don't know the backstory of the song. So I guess we'll have to explore that together. Hey, tell us more first about the podcast, and then I want to hear more about you. But, when you hear, I heard from a friend of mine in Oshkosh, yours was actually the first name she recommended and said, oh, there's this, the Kosh is a podcast. You got to hear more about it. You got to talk to Timber. Tell us about the show.
Well, it's the Kosh. And basically it's just a podcast where I interview different people across the community and we just have a conversation about whatever they want to. The purpose of it, though, is to give voice to people who might not get an opportunity to have their voice heard, or for people to learn about the initiatives that they're doing or their activity in the Oshkosh community or surrounding Fox Cities area. And it's just kind of taken off to be its own thing.
So what you're saying is, I mean, this is not just like, a community calendar type of thing. I mean, we're really getting into, the people who in essence are the civic heartbeat of a community.
Very much so. The way that we start the podcast is we get to know the person first, just from professional positions that I've had, it always matters if you know the person before they share information with you. It builds that rapport, builds a little bit of trust, and then you're ready to receive information from them. And that's how we design the Kosh, is we spend the first part of the podcast getting to just know the guest at a level, and then we jump into whatever topic they would like to share.
And so tell us a bit more about some of those topics and some of the people. How many episodes have you had? How many guests?
We're at 85 episodes. Okay. We've had more guests than that because every once in a while, this gets to be really personal in some episodes and maybe even a little intimate sometimes because it really is a conversation. And sometimes, they share to a point that they're just not comfortable publishing, but other than that, and we cover all sorts of things. So I mean, the episode I released this week was social justice advocacy, people who've talked about the value of volunteering, people with disabilities or invisible disabilities, imposter syndrome, There's just, I get a really broad swath of a lot of different people, and sometimes it's about the topic, and then sometimes it's about who they are professionally. One of my favorite episodes, white people talking about race, racism, and racial equity. That was a great episode.
Oh God, I'll bet so. You've had, you know, the Oshkosh area superintendent on there, somebody from the EAA, which, you know, seems to be a must. You know, mental health and parenting, just so many amazing topics from, you know, one, I'm not going to say small community, but I mean, it's not, you know, it's not your Chicago or even Milwaukee, but you know, it is, as I discovered yesterday, being in there, a very vibrant community, full of folks who have, you know, specialties or advice or stories to share.
Absolutely. I mean, things that people don't know about Oshkosh. Oshkosh actually was Event City. There were more events that happened in the city of Oshkosh than anywhere else in Wisconsin. Oshkosh has the largest air show in the world with EAA. Oshkosh had the third largest university. I don't know if that still holds up, but that would have been UW-Oshkosh. Those numbers might have shifted in the recent years. But like Oshkosh really has a lot of amazing things going on.
It sure does. And I said several times yesterday, but I'll say again, how wonderful I thought it was that where Civic Media is putting its radio studio is in remodeling, you know, the storefront of an older building still downtown right on the river. And you see more of that happening. You know, my friend works in a nearby building that used to be a granary. And there's all these things that are truly happening to provide a resurgence to downtown, which you're seeing in many, not all, but many Wisconsin communities. But Oshkosh is certainly one of them.
Absolutely. They have definitely, there's been redesign and redoing of our riverfront, creating walkways, pathways to connect things so you can walk up and down it and get to, you know, different businesses and other attractions of Oshkosh. Just overall, there's been a lot of thoughtfulness and effort put into the design of Oshkosh and what I would like to call maybe a resurgence of Oshkosh.
And, you know, lest we be accused that this is just, you know, boosterism and cheerleading. I mean, again, Oshkosh, like any community, has its issues. And I certainly get the impression looking through this that you're not hesitant about, you know, spelling out a community's challenge, not in the name of exacerbating it, but of trying to resolve it.
Yes, we can't fix anything if we don't talk about it. And, you know, and you're right. I don't want to paint Oshkosh as overly Pollyanna. Oshkosh changes really slow. I do think Oshkosh has had scenarios where there's been denial of challenges with diversity, inclusion, and race in particular. But we got to talk about those things, because the one thing about Oshkosh right now and the demographics of Oshkosh is they're not going backwards. We are continuing to become a more diverse community, a more engaged community. And these demographics, these people from these marginalized communities are starting to really participate in the civic duties of the city.
I agree so much with that, because the political conversations are almost toxic to a degree. And I think what it has done, and I don't mean to say that toxic communications have any kind of a positive impact, but what it seems to have done is led a lot of other people who don't want to be partisan political to step up and say, how about if we make this more of a community conversation and we don't root it in what the left wants or what the right wants? That maybe it's a factor of that. Maybe it's just a factor of, you know, the next generation, you know, Gen Z especially, wants to be more community involved compared to, say, you know, my Gen X, which had just way too many people who were apathetic about these kinds of things. I don't get that impression from younger generations at all.
Oh, no, not at all. I think we've just hit a point where we had to have the conversation that the changing of the demographics of the region, you couldn't ignore them anymore. And particularly even where the numbers of our schools are, which are the telltale of the very near future. So I do believe like right now, Oshkosh is sitting, I think the last number I heard was maybe around 27% students of color. I might even be more than that if I'm correct, which that's more than one out of four and quickly headed to one out of three. And those kinds of things you can't ignore. We also can't ignore the fact that a lot of businesses in the region, the big businesses, want diverse staff. They want to get the best talent they can get, and they want that talent to come here and stay. So there's a responsibility on the community to make it more welcoming and to invite these people in.
Oh, I mean, we put it all under one umbrella and we call it the labor shortage, but there is a lot under that, and about making sure that you do have a welcoming community. You're not going to have growth by just, you know, writing a big check to a big company and hoping it all trickles down. There's got to be more of a community spirit to it. What inspired the Kosh, the creation of the podcast? Did you see something like this in other communities at all? Was this completely organic? How did episode one come about?
This was just me being a big nerd. I love tech. And so I was determined to buy some podcast equipment, but I didn't have an idea for a podcast yet. So I sold a bunch of video games, retro video games, and went out and bought a bunch of podcast equipment. And once I had it, I was like, I guess I got to actually make a podcast now.
Well, you found a heck of an idea. Yeah. Well, was this a work? Was it all you? Was it kind of a small committee? Were there people that you thank for steering you toward, you know, talking to maybe your first batch of guests?
Nope.
It was all you.
And what really happened was one day I sat with the equipment for 6 months and I couldn't figure out what to actually do a podcast about. And one day I was listening to the radio. We turn on the radio for our dog. And I was like, you know what? I was busy thinking nationally, internationally, as far as an audience. And I said, radio has been successful forever, just focusing on local audiences. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to focus on our local audience, particularly Oshkosh. And I went to UW Oshkosh, and me and my friends always called it the Kosh. And that's where the name comes from.
Which is just so great, because I've been in, you know, Wisconsin for most of my adult life. And when my friend Brenda mentioned the Kosh, I'm like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. And it's brilliant. I just love it. And it's a great name for a show as well. And I got to give you credit. I mean, I'm looking at your webpage, and the one thing I keep saying, we got to get, but we don't get, you got gear. You got hats and shirts over here with the Kosh. Who wouldn't like that? That's beautiful marketing.
Oh yeah. We got, and we do everything local. So literally my neighbor across the street makes my hats and shirts.
Oh,
and we do them in small batch, like five or six at a time. So like the Kosh, we walk the walk. We don't just talk the talk. We are local.
That is awesome. The website, by the way, is thekoshpodcast.com. Kosh, of course, K-O-S-H. And Timber Smith is our guest talking a bit about that. So if we were to look ahead, and you know, you've described the kind of community that, you know, you want to affect positive change in. I always hate this question about your five-year plan, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What does Oshkosh look like, you know, in that 3 to 5 year period that tells you that these conversations have been a success, that they have affected positive change?
I can tell you what it looks like now. the great thing about the Kosh is it's introducing these individuals and the organizations they represent or initiatives to the broader community, and people are reaching out to each other and things are happening, partnerships are happening, connections are happening. We have we have honest conversation. I don't want to necessarily call them tough because they're not tough, but they are real and authentic. And some of it has had where people have connected, and, you know, one of the schools in Oshkosh looks like it's going to be getting a mural because the art director of the Payne Art Center connected with a muralist who was on the Kosh, and they heard each other's episodes and they reached out to each other. And these kind of connections are happening That's organically because we don't know who each other are often, but we have all of these wonderful resources and all of this wonderful talent in their community.
You are doing such a great job of it. I've got to hit break here, Timber, but thanks so much for joining us. It was wonderful to meet you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend. Back with Dan Schumacher next. You're up north. Also wanted to make sure to congratulate Mark from the Milwaukee area, winner of the other pair of tickets to next Tuesday's Brewers game at American Family Field against Matt the LA Dodgers. Did you say something, Aaron?
Matt from the Milwaukee area.
Oh, Matt, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sure Mark right now is going, wait, I won the tickets. trust me, as a guy who gets called Rob instead of Pat lots of times, I'm sure Matt is good for that. So anyway, here's Dan Schumacher from somewhere up there near Jim Falls, up along the river. Is the river finally settling down?
It is, but we're getting a little rain this morning, Pat. Okay. But the water is receded, but it's still moving pretty good.
But here's the big news. Here's the big news on the river there between Jim Falls and Chippewa Falls. And I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want, 10,000 people from the Chippewa Valley showing up. But I guess a few more will when we say those magic words, the mallard is open. It will be later today. The mallard is for folks wondering what the hell we're talking about. It was one of the original like old timey resorts, up on the river with, just these small cabins, and people would drive from forever to be up there. And it's a little bit different there now. There's not the regular camping that there used to be, but there is still that old fashioned bar right there on the river. It used to have a little one of those little disc shuffleboard games for the longest time. And I mean, I'm not gonna say you're walking back in time, but it's an old time bar where you can just sit there and talk with your friends and watch the boats go back and forth on the river. And it is far and away our favorite hangout, usually on a Sunday, but sometimes a Saturday. And I think I got a feeling we're going to see you there this weekend, maybe.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, it is the oldest place on the lake, and it was created right after they dammed up the lake. So it's pretty historic. It's a great place to go, but
it's
go ahead.
I was going to say, it's where the favorite story that I tell is that there used to be, for the longest time, there was a gas pump there, and yes, people would gas up their boats there. They've since pulled it out, with, the environmental concerns and all that, and replacing a tank. But anyway, this was also the place where they would shoot off fireworks, off the dock and over the river. And, a professional or semi-professional would kind of handle that. But meanwhile, kids would be shooting off firecrackers and bottle rockets and things. And, the whole crowd is kind of watching things. And the whole crowd hears me kind of, yelling at the kids over the other way, could you please stop setting fireworks off on the gas pump? I did not want to be part of a major disaster on the Chippewa River there.
It's
a good place.
Looking forward to seeing people that I haven't seen since summer, maybe. So yeah, it should be a nice weekend for their opening.
And look, there's a lot of places like that. When my dad used to had a place on Blueberry Lake up near Hayward, and there was always the same little tavern that we would go to there on the water. Right, there's so many. So it's not just that one, but with the fishing opener this weekend, it is a reminder that a lot of these places are either going to open up or get their first big wave of customers. And I just hope everybody has a great time.
Yeah, it's fishing opener for sure. And the docks are going in.
So back to sports, which ostensibly is what we're supposed to be here to do. What do you think of the Bucks dumping Coach Bud?
I actually had this debate with our good friend Art yesterday. I can't believe that we live in a world nowadays in sports where – You're only as good as your last year. I mean, he won it 2 years ago. The Bucks won the championship 2 seasons ago, and the man is out of a job. I know they had a collapse, but Giannis was hurt. You know, there's a couple of factors that go in there. So how he's the scapegoat and all this, I kind of scratch my head at that one.
Well, I wonder too, I know nothing of basketball coaching or strategy. I only know what I hear or read, and that there were some real frustrations with how they were coached in those last two games where they had such fourth quarter collapses. And even Giannis mentioned he would have liked to have had more opportunity to guard Jimmy Butler. And Giannis, I don't think normally speaks up like that.
No.
The whole thing was just kind of weird that suddenly the coaching took this weird left turn, that people spoke up. Now the coach is out of a job. And instead of it being one bad phase, it's here's the door.
So let me give you a parallel. I see that the Brewers are on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Is Craig Counsell in trouble?
Well, certainly not mid-season like this. If the let's say the Brewers went to the World Series and they were up 4-0 or 4-1 and then had lost the next 3 or 4 and didn't win the World Series or even the opening round of the playoffs, you know, would you fire Craig Counsell after that? I don't see any way that happens.
He just makes the playoffs, do they get rid of him?
No. No, you don't.
If he misses the playoffs.
If he were to miss the play, I mean, last year they were eliminated on the last day of the season. Right. They were a little disappointing there near the end. But a baseball season is also long enough that you can point to, like for the Brewers this year, these stretches with injured pitchers and say, you know, you can't put it all on the manager. But unfortunately, you can because it's his name. You know, you can't fire an entire team, but you can fire a manager.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting week in interesting times in Wisconsin. They've had a tough athletic year. The Badgers have, the Brewers, the Packers, the Bucks.
Yeah, but speaking of the Packers, how do you like Aaron Rodgers saying, well, they wouldn't quite give me the weapons that I needed in Green Bay. So now that he's with the Jets, he starts bringing on Randall Cobb and other folks who were the exact same weapons that he had.
Yeah, the only one he's missing right now is Mercedes Lewis.
No.
For his group of guys that he wanted to come with him. And yeah, I agree with you. We were just talking about that too. I mean, same guys he's going to have with the Jets that didn't get it done with the Packers.
Yeah.
So I don't get it at all. I did read though that he showed up at minicamp and off-season workouts with the Jets here these last week or so. So that's something he didn't do with the Packers.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's trying to, you know, be better behaved, you know, that way. Whether it gets them any place certainly remains to be seen. Anything you want to share as far as from the WIAC? Again, you're trying to make up all these games.
We're literally Monday and Tuesday are the last regular season games before the conference tournaments and softball. Softball for Eau Claire just snuck into the last spot, the sixth spot. Everybody, the bracket's pretty much set. Baseball still got a few games over the weekend and then Monday and then Tuesday. We'll see if we get in the tournament there. Lacrosse season's over with, unless you're going into postseason. Track and field is usually, for all the schools, it's the latest sport. They won't be done till the third week of May when nationals are. So, the next 2 weeks, everything will be shut down. The college season for the 22-23 academic year will be shut down, will be done with and in the books.
Which means we'll be you and I will be seeing more of each other at the Mallard. Dan Schumacher, thanks so much.
Thank you, Pat. Take care.
All right. Have a very good weekend. And coming up on Monday, it should be a Motherhood Monday, so we'll hopefully have a visit from the Motherhood for Good folks. And Up North News correspondent Sharita Booker will start to join us on Mondays to help us review some of the most watched, most downloaded, most read stories at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.